Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation conference call announcing its first quarter 2019 financial results. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, bienvenue à l'appel conférence d'H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du premier trimestre de 2019. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à poser vos questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that are forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties and could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, November 13, 2018, at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. I would now like to turn the conference over to your hosts, Monsieur Frédéric Ducret and Monsieur Marc Blanchet. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. My name is Marc Blanchet. I'm CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll just say a brief word in French to our French audience. Merci, bonjour à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel et vous aviser que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site internet h2oinnovation.com dans la section investisseurs. Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found on our website at h2oinnovation.com in the section investors. Frédéric Ducret, President and CEO, is joining me today for the call, which duration is approximately 30 minutes. In today's call, Frédéric will go over H2O Innovation business model and highlights and milestone of the previous quarter. I will then be discussing the quarter's results. Before I hand over the call to Frédéric, please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page 2 of the presentation. I would now like to hand the call over to Frédéric Ducret, President and CEO of H2O Innovation.
Thank you, Mark. Hello, and thank you for joining the call today. Before diving into the presentation of the results of our first quarter for fiscal year 2019, I want to present you a small change we did in this new fiscal year started July 1st, 2018. This proposed change will remain for the following quarters and fiscal years. Because of the business nature of the aftermarket and services and digital solutions, we are moving this business line from the second business pillar to the first business pillar. Our intention is to keep the second business pillar exclusively for specialty products and for business lines relying on distribution network. Moreover, because the customers of the aftermarket services and digital solutions are clients previously served by the projects group, we believe it makes more sense to consolidate the reporting of this activity under the first business pillar. Therefore, you will observe an $11 to $13 million shift in revenues in this new fiscal year. As you can see on slide number 5, this change in reporting is adding $2.6 million in revenues in our first business pillar and removing the equivalent number from the second business pillar. If we apply the same logic in the first quarter of our previous fiscal year, the switch in revenues of the aftermarket and services will have been $2.8 million. Again, this change in reporting has no impact in the consolidated revenues of the corporation, neither on its gross profit. Now moving to slide number 6, presenting the evolution of our consolidated revenues. With a strong first quarter for fiscal year 2019 of $24.4 million, we are showing an organic growth of 7.7% compared to the first quarter of the previous year. On a last 12-month basis, revenues reach $101 million, up 2% from last fiscal year. This positive organic growth trend continues as we are maintaining our solid base of recurrent revenues. Indeed, recurring revenues for this first quarter reached $16.7 million compared to $14.4 million at the same quarter in previous year. These recurring revenues include specialty products, operation and maintenance, and aftermarket services included now into our first business pillar. The sustained growth of 16% is explained by the addition of scope expansion of O&M contracts, as well as the growth in our specialty products line, notably Piedmont. In total, Recurring revenues for this first quarter represent 68.5% of our consolidated revenues, adding tremendous predictability and stability to our business model. As you can see, our business model encourages multiple sales synergies between our business pillars, and most importantly, it promotes long-term relationship with our customer. Moving to the slide number 7, regarding the adjusted EBITDA, we can observe how the efforts we have done have paid off now. At the end of our first quarter for the 2019 fiscal year, the adjusted EBITDA reached $1.3 million compared to $588,000 in Q1 of previous fiscal year. I'm extremely pleased to see the significant growth of 115% in our adjusted EBITDA, as it shows all the efforts spent in controlling our costs, improving our gross profit margin while growing our sales. Indeed, we can say that we are scaling up our business since we are growing our adjusted EBITDA faster than our revenues. Now, looking at the adjusted EBITDA on a last 12-month basis, we also observe that we are maintaining this long-term positive trend. LTM adjusted EBITDA for this first quarter reached $4.8 million, up 17% from last fiscal year. This significant improvement in our adjusted EBITDA performance can be explained by two main reasons. First, an increase of from 19.7% to 22.6% of our gross profit margin, notably supported by sales of new specialty products and a diversified project backlog. Second, we have been able to manage very effectively and accurately our SG&A expenses and leverage our sales organization. Our team continues to strive for more improvements in order to increase even more our adjusted EBITDA in the coming year. Moving to slide number 8, let's review the progress done on each business pillar. Starting with the project business. Boosted by our open platform, the FiberFlex and FlexMBR, we have been able to maintain a healthy, diversified, and strong backlog superior to $50 million at the end of the first quarter. In our Q1 2019, the revenues of our first business pillar combining projects and aftermarket services stood at $10.3 million and $40.3 million on an LTM basis. Most importantly, our project backlog providing revenues from the coming quarters remains strong, diversified, and above $50 million threshold. Talking about diversification, we can see how our revenues along with our project backlog have evolved in the last couple of years. It's not by chance, but by design and hard work from our sales team that we're observing an increase from 16 to 36% of the revenues in the first quarter coming from industrial projects. Similarly, we continue to observe also an increasing trend in our wastewater sales. Both of these drivers, being more industrial and wastewater projects, contribute positively to improve our gross profit coming from our first business pillar. Now let's move to the evolution of our revenues in the second business pillar at page number 9. Revenues stood at $4.2 million compared to $3.2 million in Q1 of previous fiscal year, representing an organic growth of 29.6% increase. On an LTM basis, the revenue reached $23.8 million compared to $22.8 million, representing an organic growth of 4%. As the revenues in the first quarter are showing, the growth of the specialty products revenue should continue to accelerate since the introduction of our new filter housing product line, done 18 months ago, is starting to impact positively our revenues. The second business pillar continued to contribute very positively to the overall gross profit of the company. Indeed, our strategy is to continue to expand our offering by adding new products and recruiting new distributors. Another factor also impacted positively the performance and the gross profit. Since April 2018, we now manufacture internally our liquid cleaners made by PWT, allowing us to capture additional gross profit. On slide number 10, we can appreciate how our revenues on the O&M and the O&M backlog have evolved on this first quarter and over an LTM basis. For this first quarter for fiscal year 2019, our O&M recurring revenues have increased by 17.2%. Now, despite the appreciation of the Canadian dollar in front of the U.S. dollars over a 12-month basis, the organic growth remains strong at 10.8%. The sustained growth is supported by projects renewal, scope of work expansion, and CPI adjustments. Again, this organic growth in both our revenues and backlog is not by chance, since we added two business development resources in our team in the last 12 months. Since the acquisition of Utility Partner in July 2016, we have been able to renew 100% of our O&M contracts. This is reflected in this increase of O&M backlog at the end of our first quarter, but also more significantly at the end of October, where the O&M backlog reached a new record high of $102 million. I'll now let Mark review and comment the financial performance of our first quarter.
Thank you, Frederick, for this update on H2O Innovation's milestone achieved over the first quarter. Now let's go over the financial results. Even though Frederick touched on it, I will review some of those results again and deeper and provide the analysis. So on slide 12, I invite you to go on slide 12, financial highlights. For this first quarter of fiscal 2019, we recorded revenue of 24.4. It's an increase of 7.7% compared to the same quarter last year. This increase is fueled by organic growth of the specialty products and the O&M business pillars, with 29% increase in the specialty products and 17% increase for O&M. Project revenue went from 11 million last year to 10.3, so project and aftermarket, if you remember now. We merged those two products together. Focus on for this business pillar, for the project and aftermarket, is to improve the gross profit margin before growing the volume of revenue. Therefore, we're executing more industrial and wastewater projects previously secured in the backlog, and accordingly, we're starting to observe positive upside on the gross profit margin recorded. Our project team is very busy and continue to execute projects that are in our backlog, which is still high at $50.5 million. Revenue from specialty products reached $4.2 million compared to $3.2 last year. Specialty products business pillar expanded its product offering by adding new product and new distributors, broadening the existing offering and positioning the corporation strategically in new markets. Revenue from operation and maintenance increased by 17% to reach $9.9 million compared to $8.4 last year. Revenue of this business pillar, our utility partners' revenue, that are generated in U.S. dollars. So as Frederick explained earlier, foreign exchange impact compared to last year has a positive impact of $400,000. Therefore, if we don't consider this foreign exchange impact, we generated an organic growth of 10% compared to the same quarter previous year. This increase is the result of the new contract and scope extension we secured since the acquisition of Utility Partner in July 2016. The gross profit margin ratio increased to 22.6% compared to 19.7 last year. This increase is explained by the increase in revenue for the quarter compared to comparable quarter last year, but it's also the increase of the gross profit margin coming from the business mix, with an increase of the sale coming from specialty products business pillar, which generally have a better gross profit margin than project and operation and maintenance. Project and aftermarket business pillar is also showing improvement compared to previous years. So its gross profit margin is higher due to healthier backlog coming from industrial and wastewater projects. SG&A increased at $4.3 million compared to $4 million last year. It represents an 18% ratio over revenue for this first quarter compared to 17.7% last year. This increase is explained by an increase of operating expenses to support the increasing revenue level, especially coming from the product business pillar, so including new places of operation and increase of level of employees. Slide 13, revenue trend. On September 30, 2018, the consolidated backlog stood at $140 million. Compared to 105 for the same quarter last year. this represented 32.8% organic growth of our booking. Over the last 5 quarters, revenue from project and aftermarket averaged $10 million per quarter. We expect to maintain same level of revenue or slightly even above coming from this business pillar in the upcoming quarters. Although we don't expect a significant increase of revenue, we're expecting to improve the gross profit margin coming from the project. This is due to the fact that we have more wastewater and industrial project in our backlog, which will be converted into revenue in the upcoming quarters. For the first quarter of fiscal 2018, recurring revenue represented 68.5% of the total revenue. Our business plan is to focus on such revenue, and we're therefore expecting to increase recurring revenue to a level of approximately 75%. Again, on this slide 13, we want to highlight the fact that historically, second and third quarter generally have higher volume of sales and gross profit margin, since most of the revenue coming from the maple equipment sales are recognized during these two upcoming quarters. Slide 14, adjusted EBITDA increased by 115% or by $400,000. So it reached $1.3 million compared to $600,000 last year. It represents a ratio over revenue of 5.2% compared to 2.6% last year. The improvement of the adjusted EBITDA comes from significant increase of the revenue and the improvement of the gross profit margin before depreciation and amortization. We expect to see EBITDA or adjusted EBITDA continue to improve during fiscal year 2019 as we see the gross profit margin improving and the revenue growing. Slide 15, just net earnings. So with this slide, we want to highlight some of the non-recurring and non-cash items related to acquisition fees that were accounted in the net, that are accounted in the net loss. So the net loss amounted to $300,000 for the first quarter, 2019, compared with a net loss of $1.1 million last year. So once we adjust those acquisition-related costs, the adjusted net earnings would be at $200,000 compared to an adjusted net loss of $20,000 last year. In the calculation presented on slide 15, the following items are excluded of the net loss, so acquisition-related cost, amortization and intangible asset from acquisition, and stock-based compensation issued at the previous acquisition. So balance sheet at slide 16, financial position. On September 30, 2018, inventory and receivable increased compared to last year, which impacted the use of our bank loan or line of credit. So the receivable increased by $1.8 million to $19.6 million on September 30 compared to $17.8 million on June 30. It's caused by invoicing milestone reached for a significant water treatment project before the end of the quarter. The increase in amount in the account receivable explains partially the increase of the bank loan, as there is a delay between the cash receipt and the use of cash for our operations. Inventory increased by $1.2 million to $8.2 million compared to $7 million on June 30. The inventory is also increased to support growing demand on specialty product business pillar, for which the inventory need to be on hand and available, and more particularly for the maple equipment revenues, which the sales happen Q2 and Q3. So we're getting ready for the maple season. Payable decreased by $100,000 to $13.3 million. This is mainly due to timing of project for the period ended September 30. As for the net debt, it increased by $200,000 at 17.7 on September 30 compared to 17.5. This increase is coming from the use of our bank loan and bank overdraft to support the increase of receivable and the inventory. We've reimbursed $600,000 of our long-term debt, and we expect to see the net debt reducing in the upcoming quarter as we start selling maple inventory and as we start also reducing the receivable level while we continue to reimburse our long-term debt. Slide 17, cash flow from operating activities. So operating activities generated $700,000 in cash for the three-month period ended September 30, compared to $3 million negative use of our cash flow for a comparable quarter last year. This improvement comes from the reduction of the loss before income tax and for the period and the variation of the change in working capital. The change in working capital item is mostly impacted by the advancement of the major project with significant invoicing milestone reached during the quarter. We expect to see the cash flow from operating activity continue to increase in the upcoming quarters as we collect the receivable and as we reduce the inventory level. This concludes my remarks on financial performance, and I pass now again to Frederick to bring.
Thank you, Mark. As mentioned earlier in the presentation, we have demonstrated that our business is scalable, meaning that we can grow our EBITDA faster than the revenues. Indeed, our revenues increased by 7.7% organically, while adjusted EBITDA increased by 115% over the same period. Also, our diversified and strong consolidated backlog of $140 million coming from the projects and O&M contracts is providing us excellent visibility for the coming quarters. With growing revenues of the O&M combined to specialty products and aftermarket services, we now have 68.5% of our recurring revenues into the business. By the way, at the end of October 2018, the consolidated backlog reached $153 million, adding even more to the visibility in our revenues. The increasing portion of industrial and wastewater projects contributes to impact very positively the gross profit generated by our first business pillar. The development and launch of new specialty products by PWT and Piedmont, combined to the expansion of our distribution network, contributed also to the gross profit improvement. Finally, our third business pillar, the operation and maintenance, will become more and more a catalyst to the sales synergies with other pillars, and will allow us to establish strong presence in promising geographies such as Texas. Supported by a record high backlog of $102 million at the end of October 2018, the coming quarters for the O&M business looks very promising. Altogether, our business is in good shape and into a turning point as we are starting to materialize the effort spent in the previous quarters. We remain committed to improve our EBITDA while growing the business. This now completes the management presentation. I will now turn it back to the operator for the Q&A period. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Pardeep Sangha from Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Pardeep.
Just in terms of, just wanted to get some more clarity in terms of what you're seeing right now in the Q2 quarter. You're kind of into this quarter now, especially with Maple. Should we expect sort of a similar kind of boost that you saw last year going from Q1 to Q2? It was a significant boost on the Maple side. Are you seeing that kind of same sort of level of activity that you were seeing last year in Q2 or more activity on the Maple side? And just give us a sense of kind of what kind of seasonality boost we can get in Q2 and Q3.
Yeah, so Pardeep, indeed. So as I highlighted in the slide presentation, and I could refer you to, again, to slide 13, as you can see, the revenue coming from the product business pillar is significantly boosted with the Maple revenue. So Q2 and Q3. So if I just go over last year's result, Q1 we did 3.2, Q2, Q3 we were above 7.5, and then at Q4 we went down again to 4.3. So most of the revenue coming from the Maple product equipment are being recognized on Q2, Q3. So indeed, yes, you will see this seasonality coming up, and there's it'll be there again this year.
Okay. In terms of, EBITDA margin expansion, I think you've kind of explicitly said EBITDA margin in 6% range for 2019, fiscal 19, and then 7.5% beyond that. Just wanted to make sure we're still on, you feel that's still on track for those kind of numbers, or do you think you can beat those numbers or anything like that?
No, I'm comfortable with these numbers. I've been expressing those targets for the last two quarters now. So indeed, yes, 6% for this year, 7.5% for next year. And how are we going to get there is putting more emphasis on high gross profit margin project, as we've been doing, and now it's starting to show up and be converted into real revenue. So it's tangible. We demonstrate that plan is working. And also, we're diversifying product. More product business line are generating more gross profit margin. And so, this strategy of diversifying our product offering through our different product business lines, so Piedmont, PWT, and the Maple, and continue to develop those distributors network is paying off, and this is how we'll get there.
And frankly, Pardeep, to see, just to add to Mark's comment, to see now the first business pillar with the projects picking up more and more industrial type of projects and wastewater projects bring us where we want to be in terms of gross profit profile improvement. So we're starting to see that. So what we secured in the past couple of months and booked now is starting to become under execution and will impact quite positively the coming quarters.
Okay, and you had a lot of comments about gross margin today and like gross margin percentage and stuff. I mean, seems to be doing a lot of things to kind of improve that line there. I think in the past you sort of said 23% kind of range. Is it possible that this thing could get up to like 25%, like by maybe fiscal 20 or fiscal 21? I mean, when do you get up to 25% kind of range, if possible?
Remember, operation and maintenance, we're still growing that a lot. It covers a lot of our fixed costs as well, and it's never going to be a business at 25% because it's a service business. So
the improvement on a gross profit is essentially coming from the addition of new products and an expansion of the Piedmont and the PWT and the Maple business. So this is how we'll be able to improve, the gross margin profile, and by having, a better execution, more industrial projects. Now, as you said, it's going to improve, but over time, it won't be over a 6-month basis.
Okay, so comfortably 23%, very comfortable, but slow improvement.
Achievable, yes.
Yep.
Okay. All right. The last question, just with regards to receivables, are you already seeing that number come down in terms of receivables?
Yeah, very much. It was, when the picture was taken, September 30, is like when, that's how it is. I mean, the picture was taken in a bad moment. Just a few weeks, not even a couple of weeks later, it was already down. It is already down, and much to a healthier level. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Barty.
If there are any additional questions at this time, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Gabriel Leung from Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. Good morning. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what you're seeing in the environment, the competitive environment right now. Just looking at your most recent renewals, can you talk about whether there were any other competing bids for the renewals? Number one, and maybe number two. It's been almost a year now since GE Water was acquired. I'm just curious to hear, what sort of transpired in the last 12 months. Have you been seeing some potential mandates come out to tender? Has there been a lot of churn within that employee base? Any disruptions there? Just curious your thoughts on that.
No, really, Gabriel, the competitive environment hasn't really changed, even though after the acquisition of Suez, of the GE by Suez, still their focus was to go after more and more industrial. So And with initial customers, it's something that you're trying to develop, you know, on one-to-one basis, the relationship mostly. So the competitive environment usually is less heavy, if I can say, into the industrial environment than it is into open municipal bids. And still, for the municipal bids, I mean, that we're doing, it's very fragmented. It's very local. So if you're bidding a project in California, you'll have a different, sometimes, environment competitiveness than you will have in the eastern side of the country. So it varies from one project to the other, but frankly, it hasn't changed much. On the O&M side, yes, there was usually one or two competitors coming in at renewal, but still in the renewal side and O&M, it's not only judged by price. So it's judged by experience, it's judged by capacity, it's judged by previous work and relationship that you built over the years with the customers. And this is where we're making most of our points. So O&M is a very sticky business. It's hard to get in. It's hard to remove a competitor. And it's true for them to enter an existing one. Now, I'm not taking it for granted, obviously. But once you're in, unless you screw it up very badly, it's a pretty sticky business.
Gotcha. Thanks for that. And Mark, one question for you, just on the operating expenses. You had a little bit of a sequential tick down. Just curious what your thoughts are about the operating expenses over the course of fiscal 19. Do you expect any dramatic changes from the current run rate? That's it for me. Thanks.
No, so that's, you know, if you look, they're pretty in line with what's in Q4. So, yes, indeed, we've had some operating expenses compared to Q1 last year. We've opened a new business place and had some employees to support, especially the Piedmont business pillar, which is growing. Not Piedmont business, sir, Piedmont equipment, so which is growing. So those are operating expenses, but we don't see much going on. I mean, I'm still targeting SG&A overall to be, I'd like to see a 7 there at the end of the year, so to be like 17.9 or something like that, but, you know, just below 18%, so that's the target for this year.
Gotcha. Thanks for that, and congrats on the quarter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gabriel.
There are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to management for closing remarks.
That's all good, so look forward to catch up with you on the next quarter results that will be presented around mid-February. In the meantime, we have in a few hours the annual meeting of shareholders, so look forward to see you and catch up with you. Thank you again for your trust. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.